You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Loving What Is. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on Loving What Is. Four Questions That Can Change Your Life by Byron Katie. We'll start with a quote. Byron Katie says, "The only time we suffer is when we believe a thought that argues with what is. When the mind is perfectly clear, what is what we want." End quote. That, in a nutshell, is the book. If you want to argue with what is, you will suffer. Period. In fact, quote, "If you want reality to be different than what it is, you might as well try to teach a cat to bark." Love that. All right, so the question, of course, is how can we get to a point where we actually love what is? Enter the work. Let's start with rule number one. Don't argue with reality. Quote, "I realized that it's insane to oppose it. When I argue with reality, I lose, but only 100% of the time." End quote. Guess what? What's happening is happening. And no amount of wishing on your end is going to make it any different in that moment. So why not take a deep breath and reflect on the following. How do I know that the wind should blow? It's blowing, says Katie. Do not argue with reality. You'll lose, but only 100% of the time. All right, the next big idea is, whose business are you in? Quote, "I can find only three kinds of business in the universe, mine, yours, and God's. Much of our stress comes from mentally living out of our business." End quote. That's brilliant. Think about that. There are really only three kinds of business, eh? Mine, yours, and God's. I love it. Katie stresses the fact, yes, it's a fact, that our stress arises when we get out of our own business and into someone else's or into God's business. All right, so speaking of God's business, why would we think we should be able to control an earthquake or a flood? We can't. An example of your business. Why would we think we should be able to control a partner or a boss? We can't. And by not recognizing these facts, we spin our wheels, spending all of our time thinking about how someone or something should be different than what it is. Enter suffering. So stay in your own business. It's the only place where you can get some good work done. And the next big idea, compassionate alarm clocks. Quote, "It is easy to be swept away by some overwhelming feeling. So it's helpful to remember that any stressful feeling is like a compassionate alarm clock that says, you're caught in the dream." That's a brilliant statement. Too often we let our stressful feelings get us more stressed. Why not look at a stressful feeling as an alarm clock, a very compassionate alarm clock that's nudging us to wake up to a new reality, a reality grounded in truth? I like that. And now insert your favorite alarm clock sound here as a reminder. Next time you feel stress, think of that and wake up. And think about this too, lint on a projector's lens. That's the next big idea. Quote, "As you inquire into issues and turn judgments around, you come to see that every perceived problem appearing out there is really nothing more than a misperception within your own thinking." End quote. Imagine you're watching a movie. You're in the movie theater. No popcorn. You brought your own healthy and yummy snacks, of course. Now the lights dim. The movie starts to play and you notice that there's something funny on the screen. You walk up to the front and you try to wipe off the little thing that's on the screen, but it's still there. Weird. So you try again. It's still there. Huh? Now you're getting frustrated. You try again. This time you scratch harder. It's still there. Now you're starting to get a little bit more upset and you're scratching harder and harder away at the screen, knowing what you're doing should be working. Until you scratch a hole right through the screen and you ruin it. Nope. Of course, the issue was never with the screen. There was a tiny something on the projector that showed up on the screen. No amount of scratching on the screen would ever change the fact that the projector's lens had some lint on it. How often do we go through our lives thinking we need to change our movie screen? How often do we get frustrated by the movie on our screen, by the traffic, by a loved one not doing what we think they should do, by the weather? You know, by stuff we have a lot of control over. That's a recipe for disaster, as we all know. The solution Katie proposes is remarkably simple. It's a process that questions our assumptions about reality to bring us to the only thing we can change, our own mind. All right, now that we've covered that, we're ready for the work. That's the next big idea, inquiry or the work. Quote, the work is judge your neighbor, write it down. Ask four questions, turn it around. That's it. Simple stuff. The inquiry is, and this is still Katie's words, is it true? It's your first question. The second, can I absolutely know that it's true? And number three, how do I react when I think that thought? And four, who would I be without the thought? And then turn it around. All right, now you're going to want to get the book if this is resonating with you and you want to get a deeper explanation of the processes. And most importantly, to see the brilliant examples of Katie working with many people over a range of issues, from relationship challenges to parenting issues, work stuff, and all that good stuff. Now, here's the essence of the work. Think of something that's annoying you. It could be something in the past that still burns you up every time you think about it, or it could be a current drama in your life, something that really gets to you. You got it? Good. Now, actually, you need to do this when you can write down. It's a mandatory part of the process that you write down all of this stuff. Otherwise, you can't slow your mind down enough to do the work. So if you can, write this down as you go. If you can't, then when you get back, write down all this goodness. And Katie has a specific process she uses to help you get your frustrations in writing. She calls it the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, and you should get the book to use it to dig deep. For now, write down what's upsetting you. For example, it could go something like this. Bob is a complete jerk. He should do what he said he was going to do. Because he didn't, I'm screwed. Right? That's a potential example of something that could be frustrating you, but I'm sure you can plug in your own version of that. All right, you got yours? Very good. Write it down. Okay, now that you've got the issue, let's do the work on it. Read your statement and ask yourself the question, is it true? So for me, we'll start with the first statement, Bob is a complete jerk. Although my first response may be to the question, is it true? I might say yes, but if I'm totally honest, the answer is no, he's not a complete jerk. Sometimes he can be cool. Now, if you get stuck on number one, then go to number two and ask yourself, can I be absolutely certain that it's true? And just an FYI, you're going to be very hard-pressed to find a situation where that answer is yes. All right, so from there, ask yourself, how do I react when I think that thought? Well, when I think the thought that Bob is a complete jerk, I get angry. I feel myself burning up a bit inside. I'm tense, I treat him like a jerk, and I'm not pleasant to be around. I'm bitter. I don't particularly like feeling like that. Ah, good to get that out. All right, so that's powerful. Then ask yourself the question, who would I be without the thought? Well, if I didn't have the thought that Bob is a complete jerk, I'd probably be able to see more of his good qualities. I'd feel lighter and happier and less stressed. It'd be a nice place to be. Ah, and I can breathe in and breathe out and enjoy that process. Okay, and then the final step in the work is turn it around. So turning it around is simply taking what you said and turning it around to its opposite. So for me, it would be, I am a complete jerk, or Bob is not a complete jerk. So then the question is, are those turnarounds equally or more true than the original statements? And another quick FYI, the answer is always yes. May take some work to get there, but it's always yes. All right, now I would go back through to my second statement, where I said he should do what he said he was going to do. And I do the four questions and the turnaround on it again. That, in essence, is the work. You got it? Now try it on yours. All right, now the next big idea is believing lies. Quote, who would you be if you didn't believe this lie? End quote. So-and-so should be doing such-and-such. There shouldn't be so much traffic right now. My boss should be nice to me. Right. Her question is, who would you be if you didn't believe this lie? So much of our stress is tied into these stories about what should be happening. Katie calls them lies. Anytime you're feeling stressed and projecting your story about what should be onto the reality of what is, traffic, spouse, whatever, slow down. You can go through the questions in the turnaround, or you can go straight to asking yourself, who would I be if I didn't believe this lie? Powerful stuff. The next big idea is every story's theme. Katie talks a lot about the stories we tell ourselves. In fact, the work is really just a tool to bring truth in place of these stories about what should be happening. The theme to all these stories, this shouldn't be happening. My car shouldn't be broken down. My child shouldn't be talking back to me. My spouse shouldn't be so inconsiderate. Blah, 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 blah. Shouldn't be blah, blah, blah. The quickest way to peace in your life? Throw should in the trash, accept reality, and go from there. And while you're at it, the next big idea, one prayer. Quote, if I had a prayer, it would be this. God, spare me from the desire for love, approval, or appreciation. Amen. End quote. I love that. It's remarkable how much energy we put into thinking about what other people are thinking of us. Whether they'll approve of something we're going to do or laugh at something we attempted. Gah. A couple years back in one of his great books, Deepak Chopra introduced me to a mantra, I am totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I said it thousands and thousands of times, and it was amazing how aware I became of the influence others have on me and how I was able to let go of a lot of my need for their approval. So let us bow our heads as we add our own little prayer. May we live independent of the good or bad opinion of others and experience life as the beautifully fearless, authentic human beings we naturally are. The next big idea is insanity. Quote, if I think that someone else is causing my problem, I'm insane. End quote. So right now I'm going to lean in and tell you a secret in my best whisper voice. If you think someone else is causing your problem, you're insane. All right, at this stage, I hope and trust you realize that the lint is on the projector. So quit scratching your friends, the screen. We need to get to work on our minds, the source of all of our challenges. How about this big idea, the carpenter's level? Katie creates a brilliant image to help us see if we're out of balance. You know those little carpenter's levels with the bubble that floats to the left or to the right? Or sits there right in the middle if it's level. So think of your mind like that. If you're telling yourself that a situation should be one way or shouldn't be another way, your little bubble is floating to the left or to the right. Get it to the center by loving what is. And I love this little idea, investing in the stock market. Quote, the greatest stock market you can invest in is yourself. Finding this truth is better than finding a gold mine. End quote. I love that. Never think that the time and money and energy you are investing in yourself is imprudent. Again, the greatest stock market you can invest in is yourself. My question for you is, are you investing enough? The next big idea is doing the dishes. Quote, we never receive more than we can handle, and there is always just one thing to do. End quote. So one of my favorite concepts from the book is something Katie calls doing the dishes. In any given moment, we usually have an intuition about what needs to be done. Whether that's to do the dishes, speak our truth, make a phone call, pick up the laundry, write the next page of our novel, whatever. There's something for us to do. The fact is that our peace and well-being is powerfully tied to whether we pay attention to that nudge and do the thing we're called to do, or whether we choose to ignore it. You ignore it and you're in trouble. You create this unconscious knowing within your soul that you're not showing up. Make a habit of that, and you'll feel the weight. The solution? Just do the next thing your inner voice is guiding you to do. If it's the dishes, do the dishes. And finally, nothing goes wrong. Quote, nothing ever goes wrong in life. End quote. Reminds me of Wayne Dyer's wisdom, in my world, nothing ever goes wrong. I love that. Can you see that everything is either a blissful experience or a blissful opportunity to learn? As Katie says, quote, everything happens for me, not to me. End quote. Until you can see everything in the world is your friend, your work is not done. End quote. So the sooner we can get to the point where we realize the fact that nothing ever goes wrong, the happier we're going to be. What are you waiting for? My recommendation, read or reread the book, and let's get to the work. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. Let's learn a little bit more about Byron Katie, the author of Loving What Is. Byron Katie is the founder of The Work, and she has one job, to teach people how to end their own suffering. As she guides people through the powerful process of inquiry called The Work, they find that their stressful beliefs about life, other people, or themselves radically shift, and their lives are changed forever. Katie is the author of three best-selling books, Loving What Is, I Need Your Love, Is That True?, and the recently published 1,000 Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. That's adapted from her website, where you can learn more and sign up for a live event. Check it out at thework.com. And if you like this note, you'll almost certainly enjoy The Power of Intention, 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, and The Power of TED. And finally, let's check out some of the quotes from the sidebar, all of which are from Byron Katie. The pain shows you what's left to investigate. There is no thought or situation that you can't put up against inquiry. Every thought, every person, every apparent problem is here for the sake of your freedom. Every story is a variation on a single theme. This shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be having this experience. God is unjust. Life isn't fair. And finally, we've been looking outside us for our own peace. We've been looking in the wrong direction. All right, that's a quick look at one of my favorite books, Loving What Is. I trust that you are one step closer to loving what is more and more in your life. And I hope you enjoyed and have an awesome day. Look forward to sharing more with you in the future.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.